Okay, I wanted to write a book about multiple sclerosis. It affects millions of people every year, countries through countries. It is a very confusing disease, and I'm going to tell my story, and I am inviting listeners to make comments, comment on your own stories as well, because one thing all multiple sclerosis patients will tell you is the disease affects us each differently. And newly diagnosed can be extremely scary. You're sitting there in the doctor's office, they're talking to you, you don't have a clue what they're saying. So, as what many people do when the doctor says you have this, you run home, you start researching it. Well, type in multiple sclerosis. Everything says the same thing. It is a scientific mumbo jumbo, and I don't know about you, but I did not go to medical school. I have no intentions of going to medical school. So I started getting into support groups. I contacted National MS Society, which anybody who's newly diagnosed, please contact them. They have so many resources available to you, so many options. Facebook, great support groups. Some support groups are only for MS patients, some are also for their family members, and it's just another outlet. And we'll be getting more into that. I am going to tell my story. It's kind of long, it's boring, but all MS patients have their own story. In order to tell part of the story, I have to tell the whole story of the type of person I've always been. I grew up New Jersey girl. Two loving parents, two brother, wonderful big brothers. And the one lesson that I was always taught was a fight, and you fight hard. You want something, you have to make it happen. No one's just going to hand you things, and I don't want to insult anybody, but there are so many young people out there right now that think, you need to give it to me. Well, no, that's not how life works. The harder you fight, the more you can get. If you want that job, you go for that job. You want that position on that sports team, you go for it. You have to make it happen. No one's going to do it for you. So that's how I grew up my entire life. I was really into sports, very athletic. 18 months old, my babysitter had me on ice skates. I could barely walk. But I was on ice skates. And that was my entire life. My parents very supportive of me and my brother's sporting activities. Anything we wanted to do, they fully had us. They would do whatever it took to teach us. They taught us, don't give up. Find your strength when you feel very low. You dig deep and you get that strength back. Our work ethic. You don't call in sick because you want to go out. If you are sick, you better be sick. And I can tell you there were times I actually, 2 years ago, went to work with double walking pneumonia. Why? I didn't want to lay anybody down because we were taught one. You call in sick, how many other people are affected by that? So that's just a basic background of me. I am a mother of four. My husband and I have been together 30 years. I know that's, everybody says, oh my God, how could you do that? Well, I'm married to one of the most amazing people in the world, that's why. But we have four boys. And I can remember running with them when I was teaching them to ride a two-wheeler down the street. My husband and I would go on walks with the kids every night. Most of the time I'd be in rollerblades pushing their stroller. So you can see I was always very athletic, very high-spirited or energized. In fact, my nickname's Tigger because I'm bouncing all over the place. That was my entire life. We moved to state of Montana in 2000 to help a family guest ranch. It was right up next to Glacier National Park on one side and the Bob Marshall Wilderness on the other. Hiking, cross-country skiing, horseback riding. And I did these things and I loved it. And around that time, Dr. Kevorkian was really in the news and they kept talking MS patients, MS patients. I didn't know what MS was. So I asked my mom, who was a nurse, I said, "What's MS?" And I said, "Why are these people killing themselves because of it?" And she explained it to me the best she could because, again, they're going off of medical scientific. And she says it's a devastating disease. And my heart broke that people had to suffer through this. So in 2004, tragedy struck and my mom passed away. Again, she was a wonderful mom. She was my best friend. I could tell her absolutely anything and she would never judge me. Even when we were kids, we were taught, you did something, you just own it. You say you did it. You get punished for what you did, but it wouldn't be as bad as if you lied about it. So we always had a very open communication. And so, of course, with any death in the family, you get depressed. I became depressed, anxious, and I had PTSD. And then things weren't getting any better. I just noticed weird things were going on, like my hands would go numb. I went to the doctor and he's like, "I can't feel my fingers. Something's wrong." He says, "Well, how are you carrying the bales of hay?" I said, "By the strings. I'm short. I can't get my arm, the hooks into the ends." He says, "Well, stop doing it. It's affecting your hands." Okay. I got vertigo. Didn't know what vertigo was at the time, but I got it. And doctor says, "Oh, you got an ear disturbance. It'll clear up." So everything kept getting explained away. Oh, it's happening because of the depression. It's happening because of this. Well, we moved back to California and I resumed a job in teaching cosmetology. Loved the career. It was a calling I had, and I seen some most amazing stylists that just are doing phenomenal. It was a fun job. I would walk 4 miles a day at work. I wore a pedometer because everybody's like, "You never sit down. You're just walking." I'm like the Energizer Bunny. But it's because I was doing something I loved. And I'm still having weird things happen once in a while, and doctors are explaining away, and I'm beginning to think I'm going a little loony. I think my family was thinking I was going a little crazy too, because they're like, "The doctors say you're fine." I'm like, "I'm not fine." So one January morning, I woke up at 5 a.m. to get ready for work. My husband was an over-the-road truck driver. He was back east. I had to wake up my kids for school, and I had to go work. So I take my shower, I'm putting on my makeup, and I'm going, something's wrong. I couldn't see out of one eye. Everything was blurry. At that point, it was only blurry. And I'm like, "Oh, this can't be good." So I went through my morning routine, got the kids ready for school. And I know most of you are going, "How would I react?" I went to work because, when you're living on two incomes, one day off of work might mean your electric bill can't get paid. So, I'm going to go work and I'll deal with the problem later. On the way to work, I called my husband. And yes, I was Bluetooth for anybody who's going, oh, you use your phone while driving? And there was enough problems. I can't say I have one eye and I'm driving. So, I called my husband and I'm like, honey, I can't see. And he says, what? And I told him how I couldn't see out one eye. And he goes, you need to go to the doctor. And I said, no, I can't. I gotta go work. Well, we're talking for a few more minutes. And he says, okay. He says, let me know what's going on. And the sneak, he called one of my friends who was at work and who was also my supervisor. I walk in the door and she goes, you, doctors. I said, no, I'll go at lunch. I can't afford to to leave work. You guys need me. The students need me. I can't let this affect me right now. I'll deal with it later. Well, by the time lunch came, it looked like you could put a patch on it. I could not see anything out of the eye. Go to the doctor. And this was great. The doctor says to me, you have to go to an eye doctor. I can't tell what's wrong. I didn't go to the eye doctor because I figured he'd send me to a regular doctor. I go back to work and my boss says, well, what'd they do? I said, they told me to go find an eye doctor. So at break, I went to the eye doctor. The eye doctor looks and says, I think you might have tore a retina. If it happened in the middle of the night and you had no problems before that, he says, I'm going to refer you to an eye surgeon. Well, the thing at that time was we didn't have insurance and I was on Medi-Cal. Medi-Cal tried saying, oh no, she can't go to an eye surgeon. Great state. And the eye doctor says, look, she can lose this vision permanently. She needs to get there. So they send me to an eye surgeon, and I nicknamed this eye surgeon. Dr. Doom. Because he's examining me, and he says, well, you either have a brain tumor or you have multiple sclerosis. And he said, I don't like those choices. Give me another. And he told me it didn't work that way, obviously. Because I always will things. You know, when you're getting a cold and you're like, no, I'm not getting sick. You won't get sick. That's how I always handled things. And so he says, we need to set up some more tests. We're going to get you in for an MRI and then we're going to go from there. I'm doing all these tests on lunch breaks. After work, on my days off, by myself, because my husband's cross country, I'm not going to involve my young kids. Everybody had work. I had to take charge of my own life for a moment. They did the MRI. It came back. I had lesions on my brain. And I'm going, okay, what's that? And the eye doctor, the eye surgeon says, it means that's where the MS is attacked at that point. And he sent me to a neurologist. Well, I go in, and again, I'm on Medi-Cal. You get what you get. They did a spinal tap. 2 weeks later, they called me. And she says, I need you to come into the office. And I said, she's 45 minutes away. I said, I can be there at my lunch hour. I went in and I'm sitting in the office. And she says to me, you have multiple sclerosis. Well, my mind went back to what my mom had been telling me about it. And she's handing me all these papers. And she's handing me, she's talking. And I can tell you, I didn't hear anything after you have multiple sclerosis. After my appointment, I went to my car and I sat there and cried for 10 to 15 minutes. I called my husband. And then I went back to work. And of course, I talked to my boss and I talked to my friends. But I didn't let me affect me at work at that point in time. I couldn't. I need to digest it. On the way home, I cried a little more. My kids asked me how doctors went. I gave them brief. I went into the shower and cried again. That was the start of my multiple sclerosis, 2011. It happened around my birthday. Happy birthday to me. And I did what every normal person does, is I went home and I started researching. At that time, we still had bookstores, and I went to the bookstores, and I'm trying to wrap my head around, what is this? What is going to happen to me? Because I don't know. And the thing about multiple sclerosis is it's the same disease, but it affects everybody differently at different times. At one point in time, we may all have the same symptoms, just periodically. You never know what you're going to get from one day to the next. So one day you may be perfectly on top of the world, and the next you may be going, yeah, I'm not getting out of bed today. And that's normal. And my son, who was a psychology student at the time, I'm just trying to figure out what myelin sheath is and why is my immune system hate it so much. And my son goes, okay, Mom, think of a phone cord. And I want everybody to think about this. When your phone cord starts getting frayed, sometimes it'll charge, sometimes it won't. Well, the MS attacks the nerves and frays them. So sometimes it'll connect and sometimes it won't. And I can tell you that was the best explanation for me, and it stuck to my head. I was like, okay, now that makes sense. So now that you're getting diagnosed, you need to think about what about MS that's affecting you at that point in time, because it changes day to day. I can tell you I don't have the same symptoms every single day, thank God. But on the, you'll see on the Facebook support groups, at some point in time, everybody's had similar symptoms. You know, I had, this is funny because now that you're getting diagnosed or your family member's been diagnosed, intentions are always well formed. But unsolicited or, trying to think here, not really unsolicited, but everybody's got advice. Everybody knows someone with multiple sclerosis. My cousin's brother's best friend has MS and he runs 3 miles. Well, that's very nice because the MS hasn't hit his legs. It's not affecting those nerves. Our brains are like highways of nerves. So for not everybody's going to have the same exact nerve hit. I got from someone, well, one of my friends has MS and they can't work. Are you sure you're going to be able to work? I can tell you I worked 6 out of 8 years with multiple sclerosis. But that's me. That is not Jane Doe down the street that has it. Her MS is affecting her differently. So the secret is to make the MS yours, not anybody else's. Don't compare it to anybody else's. As well as they know better. They're not going to compare it to yours. It is the well-meaning people offering you the advice. Oh, you just have to get out and exercise. Okay, it's 103 degrees. And exercise for me is making it down the stairs without falling. Oh, you should eat better. Again, some diets do help. I'm not going to say they don't. However, we are going through a nightmare. Please don't tell us not to eat something. Yes, too many proteins can kick up your immune system, so you do want to watch how much you intake, but I'm not saying cut it out because, you know what, some of us like steak. Grass-fed beef is better, but it's more expensive, so I just go with a small piece of meat and that ends the craving. But yeah, they'll say, oh, just get out and do this, do that. Okay, good luck. For me, I get foot drop a lot, which makes it entertaining because I do my own stunts. I call them gravity checks. Because for me, everything's about humor. If I can't put humor into it, I would just roll up in a ball. A couple of years ago, my foot dropped and I broke 3 toes. Well, I told the doctor at the ER, he goes, what happened? And he said, I was hugging the floor and the couch got jealous and broke my toes. Well, they casted my foot and they put me on, I call them walking stick death, because, again, I have balance issues. Why put me on toothpicks to walk? They eventually put me on a walking cast. But, again, MS hits everybody differently, and I'm really interested in your stories. How were you diagnosed? What was your first symptom? And you're going to see through this series of podcasts, everybody had different starting symptoms. Everybody continues to have different symptoms. Someone asked on Facebook, has anybody been diagnosed with a sleep disorder? For me, I have insomnia. I'll just stay up for 3 days. Others were saying sleep apnea. So we have sleep disorders, but they're different. Then there was, oh gosh, now that I'm talking, I can't even think. So we all have all these different signs. Another thing, if you're newly diagnosed, is become a germaphobe. What happens when we get an infection? Our immune system kicks up, and unfortunately, our immune system is confused. It likes to attack us, not the infection. So when our husband gets a cold, they get a cold, their immune system fights it. Well, now we have the cold, and instead of our immune system fighting the cold, it's fighting us. Yeah. So for me, I'm like, yeah, stay away from me. I'll wear a mask. You wear a mask. Let's just bleach everything. So it's really important that you watch what it's around you. If you've got to see someone sneezing and coughing at the store, oh yeah, put on the rubber gloves, put on the gloves and push the cart. But there are several resources people don't know about. Here's some secrets for you. First of all, did you know multiple sclerosis? A lot of people have heat intolerance. We have to keep our house freezing. I know there's jokes occasionally, like in my classroom, my boss would come in and say, oh my God, are you getting any meat in this classroom? In the middle of summer, you would see my students coming in with their jackets on, and then they would go outside. they would leave the classroom in just a t-shirt. They're like, yeah, go in class, gotta get my coat. But if you go to your doctor, first you have to contact the electric company. They'll send you an application for a baseline. It's a reduced baseline cost. And you take it to your doctor, they fill it out. I suggest please ask your doctor to do it as a permanent. MS is not going away. And you fill out the application, you turn in the application, and you get a discount on your electric bill. Very helpful during the summertime. Also, handicap placards. I know people say, I want a handicap placard, I can walk. Well, yes, you could probably handle the walk. However, you're walking to the store, through the store, back to your car, and that takes a lot of energy out of you. And the whole goal is to conserve as much energy as you can. So the handicap placard just helps you out a little bit. And some days you can't make that walk. I discovered something this year. I've been Christmas shopping using my wheelchair just because the walking is too much. And as my husband says, I don't know how to behave in stores because my brain-to-mouth filter breaks after a while, especially at Christmas time. This year, I did all my Christmas shopping online. It was so much easier. I wasn't stressed because stress affects MS. I wasn't stressed. My husband wasn't gonna sell me or gag me in the store. And I had all my Christmas shopping 2 weeks early. So those are just a couple of little hints that I personally used. You can, you know, like I said, the forums and the support groups will all have little suggestions for you. I can no longer drive a car, so I do rely on public transportation. And if you've ever been on a crowded bus and there's no seats, you get to stand. Well, ADA, you can get an ADA pass. And what this does is it reduces your fare, but it also guarantees you a seat. The bus can't move unless you're sitting. That is for handicapped people. And unfortunately, with MS comes handicaps. Even though your legs might work fine one day, the next day they might be weak. The medications that we take are very expensive. Not all insurance covers them. Covers all of the cost of it. I know I had heart failure the one day because they told me it was a $2,000 copay. I'm like, that's more than I pay in my rent. Guess what I'm not taking? But they said, no, we have patient assistance. All the medicine companies have it. If you cannot afford your medication or you cannot afford the copay, you give them your information, they run the calculator, and most of the time you are paying nothing. Good information to know. Because again, unless you ask, you don't know. And this is just coming from experience. I didn't know it when I first started. I had to learn it, and I want to give this information as much as I can out there. So, there are different resources, different support groups. Know your ADA laws. I had wonderful bosses that helped me at every step of the way through this unfortunate journey. And I'm still close to them 2 years after I had to go on disability because I lost the use of my right hand. So, however, landlords can be a little difficult. Like, we have a very difficult landlord who I'm constantly fighting over ADA stuff. So know your laws. Again, ADA website. I've been on there several times. Again, never from my employer, always from my landlord. In fact, my employer has helped me with some of my landlord stuff. But please give me your comments, give me your questions. I'd be happy to answer it. If we can figure out how to open up a discussion with other MS patients, I'm new to podcasting. I'm old, I'm sorry. So I'm going to figure it out for the next episode. I'd like to bring in some people and we can all talk about our stories and get out the information on multiple sclerosis and what it is. And if we can raise awareness, maybe eventually we can say, I used to have multiple sclerosis. You take Annette Funicello, who it's funny, the doctors always say, oh, you won't die from it. Well, it's the same as what they say about AIDS. You don't die from AIDS, you die from the complications. You don't die from MS, you die from the complications. Well, I read a thing online, and I will never forget this line. The man didn't jump, die from jumping from the bridge. He died from the landing. Without one, you don't have the other. So, if I didn't have multiple sclerosis, I wouldn't die from complications of it. So, I would like to open up this more into more discussions. I will probably be doing another podcast. I'm going to try and put together within today is Monday. By Wednesday, around the same time, thank you for listening. And if you have any questions, please leave a message. And like I said, I'm going to get together with other MS patients in the area, and we will do a podcast together, and we're going to get more stories out there and make people understand this is, although it is one disease, is individual disease to each person. Does that make sense? I hope so. Okay, well, thank you for listening.